day, more housing announceables from the government. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest post covering finance and property news. Well, those following our regular property rant shows with Edwin will know we've been speculating that there will be budget measures next week to help property developers. Well, in fact, they couldn't wait, it seems. The 600,000 plus migrants arriving in Australia this past year are continuing to put pressure on the housing sector, and it helps to explain the fact that rising rents, interest rate hikes, and surging living costs in the past few years have inflamed what was already among the world's least affordable housing rental market, where record numbers of people can no longer afford to buy after a surge in house prices. Incidentally, RBA Governor Michelle Bullock claimed that the federal government's extreme immigration policy has had minimal impact on CPI inflation.
Thanks, Michelle. Chris Reason from Channel 7. You mentioned there in your drivers for the key drivers for inflation, tight jobs, petrol, services, industries, etc. You just mentioned there as well population. Can I ask you about the impact of immigration? Where do you stand on that? I know that last year in November you said you welcomed it. Immigration was a good thing for Australia. Do you still stand by that, given the sticky nature of the inflation figures now and the impact it is having on the economy?
So a couple of points. Immigration broadly, over the long sweep of history, I think has been positive for Australia. What we've observed, though, with the pandemic is that immigration has had really big swings. We had the borders closed, we had no immigration, and then the borders opened and then we had a massive increase in immigration. My understanding, and I think this goes into our forecasts, is that the government is looking to put immigration on a much more steady footing going forward rather than these big swings which we've seen. But we've been through, you know, once in a 100-year shock through the pandemic. On the impact in inflation, it's not actually that straightforward because, yes, they add to, new migrants add to demand and there's been that element of it. They've certainly added to pressure on the housing market, we know that. But on the other hand, they've added to labour supply. And one of the biggest complaints that I used to hear from businesses during the pandemic and during the border closures was they couldn't get people, they couldn't get staff. And even as we were coming out of those circumstances, you'll remember the labour market was so tight, businesses just could not get workers. So they've added to the supply side of the economy as well. So I think our judgment is that on balance it really hasn't added dramatically to inflation, with the exception that it's put big pressure on the housing market, and that's obviously working its way out in rents, and that's the one bit where it's... But otherwise, I think it's been pretty much a muchness.
While immigration was driving up housing inflation, accounting for about 22% of the CPI basket, it also lowered wages growth. So households are caught with lower wages growth thanks to immigration, while their living costs, most notably rents, have been driven higher. So, of course, the logical step would be to right-size migration to match the capacity to build new homes, which with the following wind might be around 150,000 each year. So that should be core government policy. But no. In fact, the federal government wants to find tens of thousands of workers to help build new homes in an attempt to address Australia's ongoing housing crisis, reacting to pressure from the construction sector, of course, which already employs about 1.35 million workers across the country. Our government knows that building more homes is the best way to address Australia's housing challenges, which is why we have an ambitious national target to build 1.2 million homes, Minister for Housing Julie Collins said recently. To build more homes, we need more tradies, she added. So what's going on here? Well, property developers, already, of course, willing to talk their own book, say prohibitive construction costs and labour shortages mean that new projects can't get off the ground, even as the country's housing crisis worsens. Take Perth, for example, with vacancy rates hovering at around 0.4% and with an average of about 220 people moving to Western Australia each and every day, many high-rise developments have been approved, but developers are reluctant to push the start button. According to the AFR, Urban Development Institute of Australia, WA Chief Executive Tanya Steinbeck said more than a dozen apartment projects representing more than 2,000 homes have been given the green light but remain unavailable due to construction costs. Thousands of tradespeople abandoned Perth in the years before COVID-19, searching for better pay, Steinbeck said, before federal and state building incentives blew the doors off demand and caught the building industry off guard. We were met with a huge spike in demand and no workforce. Then we started to see supply chain issues and the costs of materials going through the roof, she said. Construction timelines blew out from 6 months to 3 or 4 years, and a massive surge in migration post-COVID has added more pressure to the city's housing crisis. So the calls from the industry have been getting louder and louder to support the expansion of existing assistance packages to persuade developers to push ahead with buildings that would otherwise be unprofitable. The WA government's $80 million infrastructure development fund already gives developers a rebate of $10,000 for each apartment in a multiple dwelling complex in earmarked development zones. But the average cost shortfall is now estimated to be around $18,000 per apartment. So the government would unlock thousands of new homes if it bridged the gap, Ms. Steinbeck said. But it's also a people issue. In a budget submission to the Western Australian government, the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, WA, said the state needs to attract more than 50,000 construction workers to address the current shortfall. Perth's population is growing roughly 2.5 times faster than his historic average, and housing completion rates are far from keeping pace, despite plenty of development approvals. And the Housing Industry Association, in their pre-budget submission, highlighted that initiatives were needed to address the skills shortages. A strong construction workforce is the only way that Australia will ever solve the problem of housing affordability, they said. The government's 5-year target of building 1.2 million new well-located homes in the next 5 years, which is part of the National Housing Accord, was agreed with the states and territories, but it looks like it will start on the back foot because of these significant worker shortages. BuildSkill Australia, a group tasked by the government to find solutions to the workforce challenges facing the construction industry, said that to stay on track, the government would need to build 60,000 new homes each quarter, which would require a workforce of 90,000 people more than currently exists. But now we know that next week's budget will include nearly $90 million to cover the education costs of 20,000 people, which the government hopes will boost a sector in desperate need of more staff. It means 15,000 fee-free TAFE and VET places will be offered, with another 5,000 places in pre-assistantship programs provided over 2 years from 2025. Treasurer Jim Chalmers said boosting the workforce was one of the ways of ensuring the target could be met. We won't build the 1.2 million homes without an increase in our skilled labour force, without more builders and construction workers, and that's why we are making this investment in the budget, he said. With less than a week to go before the budget, Mr. Chalmers insisted housing would be a priority. It will be a major focus of the budget on Tuesday, he said. We know there's not enough homes. We need to build more housing. We have made some quite big investments already, and people would expect to see more on Tuesday night. So the government also hopes to find 4,500 migrants to help fill the gaps in the sector by fast-tracking applications for those who have building and construction skills. It includes 1,900 migrants from countries that have comparable qualifications to Australia, such as people from the UK and France. Another 2,600 will be migrants who have construction skills that are not recognised in Australia, but who will be fast-tracked by completing practical tests to be approved for work. Skills Minister Brendan O'Connor said many of the migrants would be people already living in Australia but currently not allowed to work in the building sector. There are people here on visas that have skills that could work in sectors in the economy that are not being recognised, he said. What a waste of someone who has a skill to help build a home when all they can get to do is to drive an Uber. If we can find a faster way of assessing and determining people's skills that are on visas in this country and help ensure we build our housing stock, why would we not be doing that? So all up, the plans would add somewhere around 22,000 new workers, but that would equal less than 2% of the existing construction workforce of more than 1.35 million. So it will only be a minor stimulus to the housing sector at best. And of course, the announceable will be pushed hard in yet another attempt to demonstrate action. But the truth is, productivity in the construction sector is a long-term problem that is going to take many years to rectify. And it's not clear how quickly the extra workers will be able to get up to speed and play a meaningful role in tackling the Albanese government's target of 240,000 homes a year on average for the next 5 years. Despite a sizable workforce of 1.35 million Australians, the industry has an exit rate annually of about 8%, and we are only replacing half of those people per year, according to Master Builders Australia Chief Executive Tienta Wan. And the Parkers Immigration Review found skills assessments or qualification recognitions can take up to 18 months and cost nearly $10,000, time and money people simply don't have in this economic climate. And yet the industry still wants more, the Property Council of Australia's head of advocacy and policy, Matthew Candales, said the industry needed a bigger boost. While we welcome funding to streamline skills assessments for potential migrants in construction trades, we can and must set our sights even higher, he said. And the Housing Industry Association said next week's budget needed to continue existing arrangements that subsidised companies for taking on apprentices. Without an employer, there is no apprentice, and the financial incentives currently in place that have encouraged the employment of an apprentice and improved retention have proved invaluable in helping the construction industry to access more workers, they said. So I expect to see even more measures in the budget, probably also supporting the rental sector further as well. But all of this is fiddling while Rome burns. It may sound good from an announceable's perspective, but until the government comes back to reality and addresses the elephant in the room, which is, of course, migration too high, things are not going to get better. And the longer it goes on, the more taxpayers' money will be funneled into unproductive and unnecessary areas of the economy rather than those that really need it. So expect more announceables, but not a lot more. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.